You're listening to the Family Discipleship Podcast, a podcast of training the church.
The world is constantly telling them what's true. A teacher's telling them what's true. A book is telling them what's true. Taylor Swift is telling them what's true. Everybody is telling them what's true. So if I take the bench seat and say, I'll just let them decide for themselves, I will be the only one indifferent.
It's super easy to have a bad marriage, right? Just do nothing. If you're indifferent towards it, eventually you'll have an awful marriage. If you put no intentionality, no thought, no care, you're just on a wide path.
Where you find indifference in your own heart towards the things that God cares about, that should be something we repent of. And that should be the first step, saying, God, I've not cared about what you care about. And I'm sorry for that. Forgive me. I want to change and go the other direction. This is Adam Griffin, and I'm here with my lovely co-hosts. First, Mrs. Cassie Bryant. How are you doing today, Cassie?
I could not be less indifferent.
Sorry, wow.
I was nervous. I was going to say more indifferent.
Oh, but you could not be less indifferent. You are as indifferent.
I cannot be less.
No. She's saying like she's very enthusiastic.
Yeah, no. I'm the double negative's throwing me off.
I will not never... Have you?
I'm not indifferent. I'm excited.
Oh, good. Yeah. Excellent. And my wife is here. Hey, Chelsea.
I'm also not indifferent.
Oh, good. I'm less than indifferent about you.
Which just means I'm different.
Just different.
Yeah.
She's so different. She's indifferent.
That's right.
Yeah. Awesome.
How are you?
Oh, wow. Turning the tables. Yeah. No one ever asks how I'm doing on this podcast. I think I normally... That wasn't an accusation.
What a victim.
Poor me. Why didn't you guys ever ask me how I'm doing?
No one ever asked me.
It's finally coming out. The end of season 5 is when we learned Adam is...
What about me?
So besides victimized, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. I'm doing really great. Let me give you another, a shout out to a listener who left us a really sweet little review here on Apple Podcasts. It's titled Can't Get Enough. Talk about not indifferent. She says, this is my go-to podcast and I truly can't get enough. After each episode, I feel deeply encouraged, refreshed, and pushed toward Jesus in a new way. Please don't stop doing what you're doing. How great is that, guys?
That's very kind.
Very kind. Let's not stop doing what we're doing.
She talked me into it.
Let's okay. Yeah, I was going
to
stop.
I was about to quit.
And then I saw the review and I was like, you know what? Let's keep going. Just like 32 more seasons. That's what I got in me.
Whoa.
Right. Yeah. Oh, is that too many?
That's 16 more years.
No, every episode's a season now.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Well, I can do 32 more then.
All right. Well, tonight we are talking about indifference. Indifference. But when you think about the word indifference, when you think about that as a, I think that'd be a vice. What comes to mind for you when you think about indifference, maybe particularly when it comes to spiritually leading your home, but certainly just as a term, a word? Cassie, what comes to mind for you? Indifference.
I'm going to just say it because I think our listeners are thinking it.
Oh.
It's Taylor Swift's song, oh. I Forgot That You Existed.
Wait, are you saying you forgot I existed or that's
no,
the name of the song?
No, that's the name of her song.
So, oh, I've never heard it.
I mean, it's all about how someone who did her wrong, I'm not going to name names.
Okay.
Someone who did her wrong,
boyfriend was it?
Not a boyfriend, actually.
Oh.
But someone who did her wrong and how it plagued her for a long time until she forgot that he existed.
Wow.
And essentially she's saying it's not love, it's not hate, it's indifference.
Which is even worse?
It is.
Okay. Is it about Kanye?
How did you know?
Whoa, pop culture dad.
Look at that. Pop culture dad.
Okay. New podcast.
Oh, is it about Kanye?
Is it about my boy Ye?
Chelsea, you probably already knew that. Probably, huh?
I don't know anything about Taylor Swift songs.
But you know a lot about
Kanye.
I
do know a lot about Kanye.
Together, we're unstoppable.
That's right. We know some things.
I think what she's saying is that it's even worse than hate.
Like indifference is a terrible thing.
You no longer take up space in my mind. Mm. I just don't even care at all.
Yeah.
Wow.
When I was going through Steps at the Village during the teaching one night, they said that the highest form of hatred is apathy.
Oof.
And the more I pondered it, the more I agreed.
You agreed. Like some people would put love and hatred at the opposite ends of spectrum, but hatred would be still a strong feeling towards someone. in a different,
but it's like it's still like, something.
Yeah.
It's still attention you're getting.
Yes, that's exactly. Exactly. Like, can you think about if you were in like an argument with your spouse, like you, whatever you're arguing about is only worth arguing because you care about that person, right? Mm-hmm. Like, cause you want,
totally.
It's only worth it because you care. But if you started just completely ignoring your spouse,
I just got nauseous.
Like, yes. Can you imagine? Like that no. is more hurtful. Then someone saying like, I'm mad at you or you bothered me or whatever, yeah. but like completely ignoring you, that yeah. would be unbelievably painful.
Yeah. yeah.
So I agreed with that when they said that.
When that guy said that thing, I thought that was good.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, that's good.
What do you think of Adam?
When I think of, no one ever asks me what I think about.
We're on a roll. We're on a roll.
This poor baby.
We're on a roll.
I am on the honor roll. So when it comes to indifference, what do I think about? I think about complacency. I think about apathy. I think about a lack of feeling towards something. I also think about when it comes to family discipleship, I think when I think about indifference, there's a lot of families who don't think it's that important to spiritually lead their homes. They don't think it's that big a deal, or they think just being around, the example I often use is, that if you would never be indifferent about your kid's education the way so many Christian parents are about their spiritual leadership. Mm. Like if your kid stopped going to school, you would be freaking out. You go, no, you need to go to school and education is so important. If your kid stopped doing their homework and just said, you know what, I'm not going to do math homework anymore. You would say, no, you have to. If they were on a team and they said, but I'm just not going to go to practice, you would say, that's not an option. Mm. If you're on the team, you're going to practice. And yet when it comes to spiritual leadership, reading your Bible in your home, praying together, just leading any sense. So many parents are like, yeah, I think they'll pick up enough just by being around me. Mm. But you would never say that about math. You would never say, hey, our kids will probably pick up enough math just by being in our home. Or our kids will probably pick up enough American history just by being around me.
I wonder too, if it comes from just thinking, well, they'll cross that bridge in college. They'll find their spirituality or they can find God as young adults like I did, especially not me. Not Cassie, but like a lot of, you know, our parents in our church, their testimony would be one where they were saved in college or in adulthood. Yeah. And so I kind of wonder if they either get frozen by like the expectations and the fear of like, I don't want to do it wrong. Mm-hmm. So I'd rather just let them have their own journey and I'll have mine.
I think there's also just a lot of religious apathy in our country.
Oh, for
there's
sure.
kind of an assumed gospel, yeah. like an American gospel that says, God's going to forgive me no matter what. Therefore, I will do whatever I want. And just my life insurance for the afterlife is set.
Cheap
so
grace.
I can kind of do whatever. Yeah. And so since I can apply that to myself, then I apply that cheap grace to my kids and my spiritual leadership and go, it doesn't really matter. Because God is so loving and so forgiving. And we've kind of trained our people in this absence of talking about evil and hell and eternal punishment, that because we're so afraid of like motivating people out of fear to follow Jesus, that we also don't teach them about how God is just and righteous to judge, and how the way he calls it narrow and few who find it that leads to life. And so we have this kind of spiritual indifference that we believe the path is wide and you know, there's many ways. And I think that certainly applies to our spiritual leader. Did I just steal your
Adam
verse you're going to use at the end?
I was going to talk a little bit about that, but.
You know what?
We're on the same page. We're leading our family. So that makes sense.
Same page
we're on
the
same page of the Bible right now.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's cool.
Yeah. I talk to a lot of parents about family discipleship, obviously. And I think there are a lot of women who've expressed to me a frustration because their husbands are indifferent towards the position of spiritual leadership in their home.
Yeah.
That's certainly not universally true about all men or about all marriages, but
it's common though.
It's very common and it is very frustrating to me. I am not indifferent about it. I so desire for us to be faithful to the commands of Scripture when it comes to leading our families. Mm. I certainly want to be that in our home. Mm. And it just breaks my heart to see, like you said, Chelsea, it's worse in some ways than hatred or love.
Yeah.
When you don't care enough about your kids or your Savior to say, this is the most important thing here.
Yeah.
That drives me nuts. I said a couple weeks ago in a sermon, we were talking about family discipleship. Not the podcast, the concept. And we were talking about, or I was talking about how if I stood up in front of the church and said, I read my Bible, everyone would go, well, yeah, you're a Christian. Of course you do. And if I said, I pray, you'd say, well, yeah, you're a Christian. Of course you do. If I said, well, I disciple my kids, you'd say, well, I bet you do. You're a pastor. And there's like a difference, like, oh, super Christians do that. Mm-mm. It's like, no, this is the standard.
Yeah.
It's a normal. It's the ordinary stuff. That's what we talk about here. This is critically important, but it's mostly ordinary to lead your family spiritually. So when I think about indifference, mm-hmm. my long answer is I think about that. And I think about leading our family spiritually. Now, let's turn the corner to talking about where we struggle. When apathy in your heart or in your home is difficult for you, where do you see indifference kind of rearing its ugly head?
I mean, I think that it's, I don't know how much it is with indifference as it is that it's like misaligned. Like I care about the wrong things.
Yeah.
Which then might lead to indifference about the right things. And so I think it's getting distracted by like culture or what the world cares about or what, you know, our neighbors care about and getting so caught up in that for my kids that then it's like, wow, we spent more time, like what you're saying, at sports practice this semester than we did, you know, in the church, or you know, you kind of fill in the blanks. And so I think that that's where we can get caught up is giving that our little tanks of care, you know, or energy and attention to something. If it all goes towards something else and it ends up being inevitably empty for the things that are most important, yeah. If that makes sense.
No, I'm with you. Yeah.
And so it's just having to constantly realign, like, no, that's not the most important thing. And it's great. There are lots of good things that we participate in,
yeah.
But they're not ultimate. And there's one ultimate thing that we should be focusing on.
Yeah.
What about you, Chelsea? What comes to mind when you think about struggles with indifference, apathy?
I think I become indifferent when I am tired or overwhelmed. Mm. Like Cassie said, maybe just misprioritizing to where I've given my best, my first to something else. And then when it comes to, you know, whether it's a conversation that needs to be had with our children or just the normal efforts that we put into discipleship, although the Lord is so gracious to work in a lot of different circumstances, I feel like he's been very gracious to work through our time in the Word as a family, even when I am sort of indifferent. Mm-hmm. And I just see that we do not have an indifferent God.
Yeah.
And as a reflection, I don't want to be an indifferent mom, but there have been times where I have been and seen the Lord show up anyways. That's and good. I'm just so humbled. And I feel like that is just so tender and loving of him to say, like, you thought this time would be a checkbox, you know, that you could just get through it and say you did it. And then look at how I showed up. I showed up. You came with no plan and I came with a plan.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dang it, Lord, how you do that?
He's so faithful.
He is. He's so tender. So ready to meet us where we are. So he's just so kind to us.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that, Chels.
Yeah.
When I think about a struggle for indifference in my own heart, I think about, you know, we talk about being easygoing, letting things slide. And there's a sense in which that's an admirable trait. To not be hyper rigid. But when we let things that matter slide, that's a problem. And I see that in my own heart, that there are things that should truly matter and I let it slide. And I go, well, we'll get that tomorrow. You know, Chelsea, I have a phrase written up in our exercise room in our house that Chelsea used to say to me all the time, like, you can't do, what is it, Chelsea?
You can't do today's workout tomorrow.
You can't. You can't do today's workout tomorrow.
You can only do tomorrow's workout tomorrow.
Yeah. So you can't stack them up and go, you know what? The same is true for like sleep. You can't be like, well, I'll sleep twice as much tomorrow. And I think the same is true for our following of the Lord.
Right. You can't cram for holiness.
Exactly. If you compare it to this is, I think, a helpful
I'm
illustration.
I'm going home and working out tonight. Sorry.
I think this is a helpful illustration. Sometimes in my head, I think if I exercised enough, it excuses poor eating later, right? I'll like count the calories against it as if we're like balancing a scale and go like, oh, I worked out this much, therefore it justifies ice cream, and which is an understandable relationship. But then we apply that spiritually and we go, well, I read so much of the Bible yesterday, or I went to church, or I had a retreat, or I had this extra Christian thing lately. Therefore, I will let something else that truly matters slide. Intimacy with the Lord, leadership in my own home. And I'll say, well, you know, that's not a big deal. Or if you're a family that like is in the Word together maybe once a week and you go, well, we just, you know, we've had a busy week. And so we're going to let that slide. Mm. We wouldn't do that if we really thought it truly mattered. And I see it in my own heart and I do it all the time. Where whether it's an opportunity that I should have disciplined my sons and I go, you know what? I'm just going to let that slide. Instead of going, no, that was an opportunity to share the gospel with them and to address something that needed to be addressed.
Which creates confusion. It, like, yeah. Inconsistency.
Sometimes it matters.
Confuses
sometimes
our kids.
It
like,
doesn't.
Why does my mom care on Monday about this, but not on Tuesday or Wednesday?
Yep.
And then they spend their energy trying to figure out
what the pattern is.
What the pattern
what
is.
To expect.
And when they can get away with something.
Right.
And when they're going to get caught.
Or it's like, why does she care at church, but not at home? Or,
yeah.
You know, stuff yeah. like that.
Also, I think we have selective biblical worldview is a big problem in our parenting right now. We will care about biblical worldview when it comes to some things. Right now, Christian hot button issues will be things like sexuality, maybe science, things like that. But then there's other biblical worldview applicable things like finances. And we'll be like, well, that's not really, you know, God didn't really care that much about that. Or evangelism. And we go, the call to share the gospel urgently with all our neighbors. We go, well, you know, that's not, we're not like a missionary family. Mm-hmm. We go, no, that... Literally, we all are called to be missionary families. And so I think there's a selective biblical worldview that will have our own hobby horse, our own like soapbox issues that we'll get on top of and say, this is really important. But there's other things that are really important that we will let slide. And I know I see that in my own heart as well. There are some battles that are hills I should die on, and instead I avoid them. And I'm honestly grieved over it.
I'm going to ask you a question because I think this might feel overwhelming for me and for listeners. So do you think it's possible for us to care about all the things God cares about?
Do I think it's possible to care about all the
things? So I think some of us sometimes will excuse it like, well, that person has the gift of evangelism.
Sure, yeah.
And so I'm not trying to excuse, you know, we're all called to make disciples and to share the gospel and the good news of Christ. But
yeah.
I think that it can feel like, well, that's for that. That's their mantle. Yeah. And this is my mantle. And we're going to move forward. And at the church at large is going to move the needle.
Yeah. The way I would say it is there are specific calls that some people have. And then there are general calls that every Christian has.
Great.
And I think what I'm trying to say is there is a general call that every Christian has that we will treat like it's a selective call.
Yes.
Where we will say, oh, since I'm not that person. And I'll hear that as it applies to family discipleship. Well, Adam is a pastor. Then of course he's reading the Bible with his family. I can't do that. I don't know the Bible that well. Mm-hmm. As if not knowing the Bible that well is an excuse of not reading it. How do you think you're going to get to know the Bible better?
Right. Yeah.
You're going to read it with your kids.
That's
you're
going
to read it together. But yeah, I'm not trying to stack a burden on people that they cannot bear any more than I bear it in a way that I can't bear.
I didn't think you were. I was just curious.
No, I'm with you. I think that's important because, you know, one of the theme verses we talked about this semester, and I think going forward for our podcast comes from Deuteronomy 30, right? Where Moses, at the end of a very long speech that includes Deuteronomy 6, where he says, you're going to impress these things on your children, whether you're walking along the way or laying down or in the morning or in the evening, like all the time, he says at the end of that very long speech, you guys remember what he says?
He says, you can do it.
He says, you can do it. He says, what I'm telling you today, verse 11, I think, of Deuteronomy 30, this is not too hard for you. It's not too far from you. Someone doesn't have to go up to heaven and bring it down to you. No one had to cross the sea and bring it back to you. It's right there in your heart and in your mouth so that you can do it. That's my synopsis. I don't have it in front of me, but that's what Moses would say. And I think sometimes we lose that in the sense of we're trying not to imply some kind of works righteousness where like, hey, you can earn it. Nobody's saying you can earn it, but your efforts are worthwhile.
Yeah.
And so let's chase it, including things like not being indifferent towards the things of God or towards a biblical worldview. Hey, listeners, we live in a world where anxiety, depression, and weariness seem to be the basic descriptors of our lives. For many of us, our calendars and our plates are overfull, yet our lives still lack joy. But it doesn't have to be this way. Jesus invites you to have true and abundant joy that's only found in Him. In John 15, Jesus reveals three very surprising pathways to finding this type of joy. You can discover these pathways in the new book, Overflowing Joy, by author and Bible teacher Tara Dew. This is available at lifeway.com, and you can save 40% off with the code JOY40. Again, that's J-O-Y, the number 4, the number 0, at lifeway.com. The new book is Overflowing Joy by Tara Dew. Check it out. Hey, listeners, this episode of the Family Discipleship Podcast is brought to you by Crossway. They're publishing a brand new resource you have got to check out. It's New Morning Mercies for Teens, a daily gospel devotional by Paul David Tripp. This encouraging book features 366 engaging daily devotionals. They're all adapted for teenagers. Each day includes a one-sentence gospel-centered reading and an extended meditation.
Bible verses and a prompt for discussion or for personal reflection, which means they can do it on their own or with you. So pick up a copy of New Morning Mercies for Teens wherever books are sold, or you can visit crossway.org/plus to find out how you can get 30% off with a Crossway Plus account. Listeners, we love Crossway. We love Paul David Tripp. We love New Morning Mercies, and we're so pumped for New Morning Mercies for Teens. Check it out today at crossway.org.
Where do you feel like you guys care rightly in your home? Like, if indifference is the struggle, where is it a strength? Where do you guys care about the right things and you're trying to promote and pursue the right things in your home?
We care a lot about the church. And I mean, I know that feels like, well, duh, you work at the church. but it's something that we've communicated as a priority for our family. It's like, we're going to gather. And, you know, I will joke that God kept me in ministry to keep me tethered to his people, because I think that otherwise I might be out in the world, be bopping around and just not going as frequently as we should. But it's, you know, 19 years into ministry, there's something, you're formed by the gathering every Sunday.
That's right.
Right.
And God is kind enough to have me be tethered to it quite literally, you know, through my vocational calling. But I think that that's true for our most faithful members who are coming regularly and who prioritize the gathering of the believers. They would say that it is, you're formed by it. And I just think it's really important to be part of a church.
Amen. Yeah. I think about it all the time, but what Ray Ortland shared with us in his conversation, we're just talking about generic leading your family. And he's like, well, get your kids to church. Yeah. Be there with them. It's not that complicated.
Yeah.
Be there. Be part of the church. Be involved. Lead. Chelsea's really good at calling people like, where are you serving at the local church? And if you're not, and then you're wondering why you don't feel connected, loved, cared about, it's like, well, this is what the Lord's called me to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Be a part of the local body of believers. Yeah, Chelsea, what comes to mind for you?
I was just thinking about a lot of the brokenness in the world when we think about poverty or homelessness, a lot of different things like that. If everybody was connected to a church where everybody was sharing what they had, a lot of that brokenness would be solved that way. And, you know, we live in the city, and when I'm approached by people, whether I give them something or not, I always talk to them about the church. Yeah. And I always tell them about my church, and I give them the address and everything, but I tell them about my church, and I say, at my church, we're brothers and sisters. No one at my church is going hungry tonight, because we wouldn't let that happen. We pool our income together and we make our needs known and we share them. So no one at our church is sleeping outside tonight. No one is going hungry tonight. So come and be known. Come and be a part. And I use those opportunities to point out to our children, like, if we needed things, where would we go? And they can name so many people.
Yeah.
And I say, that's what we were designed for. Everyone was designed for that, to be plugged in and be part of the body of Christ. And then some of these things that look so broken and so tragic, they would be wiped out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I was going to say about the church. But yeah, I think our family cares a lot about the church too. We care about the needs in the church, and our boys get to see that. And a lot of that just flows really naturally. And I don't think that's just because Adam's the pastor. I think that's so true for a lot of the families at our church that are really plugged in. They just become aware. If you're walking closely with people, then you know that somebody is always hurting. Someone is always needing something, and someone's always rejoicing. And so there's a lot of that just plays out really naturally to go, of course, let's all rejoice with someone who had a baby, and let's all grieve with someone who's lost somebody. And our kids have a high exposure to that. And I think it's, been an important part of their discipleship. But our kids don't, they would be really shocked if I ever said, like, let's just not go to church. While I understand we have the freedom to do that, we don't go because we have to. Mm-hmm. That is part of our rhythm. Like you said, that we're going to go be formed by being a part of the gathering. We're going to worship. We're going to take communion. And that's a really important part of our life.
That's good. I think one of the other things our family cares a lot about is honoring the Lord with what we read, what we watch on TV, what we think about. I think that'd be obvious if anybody came to our house and was not familiar with having kids cover their eyes, leave the room, or not watch certain movies or TV shows. Like, we care about those things. I was thinking about it today. Our oldest son was asking me about a movie I had seen recently, and he asked me if I liked it. And I said, no, I didn't really like it. And he said, this is his words, he said, did you not like it because the story of the movie, or because it didn't honor the Lord? And I was like, man, that's language we've used in our house enough now that it's common that he knows that if something doesn't honor the Lord, I do not enjoy it.
And I think that's because we have that ingrained. It's because we do care about that. Is I want if the books I read, the TV shows we watch, even the commercials that are on TV or the YouTube videos or whatever we might do together as a family. I want it to honor the Lord. And we care about those things. We're not indifferent towards media, I guess is what you would say.
Yeah, that's
so we're not
true.
Like, yeah, put that song on. It doesn't matter to have cusses in it. Or hey, let's watch that movie. It doesn't matter that, you know, the plot of it doesn't honor the Lord. No, we're going, no, if it doesn't honor the Lord, we're not going to do it. We're not going to read it.
Yeah. And we don't care that our kids are going to be left out, feel different. They already experienced that to some degree. And
totally.
We really want them to get used to the feeling of being set apart. Even if what it mostly feels like is exclusion. We want them to get used to that.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the scripture. What does the Bible have to say about indifference or about the lack or maybe the opposite thereof? Cassie, what comes to mind for you from the Word of God?
Eric and I were talking about this at dinner tonight, and he reminded me of Zephaniah, which I have not read. I'll be honest, I haven't read it since January when I read through the Bible. I don't know how often y'all read Zephaniah.
Not bad.
Okay, great. But he was in a study in it, and there's a verse that talks about what happens when the Lord finds that Israel's been complacent with his commands and what he's called them to do and how seriously God takes what he's asked us to do. And complacency towards that will be punished and disciplined. And I know that feels maybe like a Debbie Downer to bring up in a podcast, but...
No, the Lord disciplines those he loves.
He does. He loves us. And so he's good to show us where we've been complacent.
Because he's not indifferent towards us. He doesn't go like, oh, I don't care that you guys
are different.
Praise
God, he's not.
He goes, no, I care. It should be different.
Yes. Yeah. And so I felt a little fired up when I thought about the complacency that we, as the Big C Church, can have towards children and teaching children the things of God, and really just want everyone listening to have that fire reignited and lit for what God has called us to do with the next generation, that we would not forget who he is, what he's done, and that they would continue on in passing that down. So,
amen.
That's
amen.
Good.
How about you, Chelsea? What
well,
comes to mind?
You already know. I was going to talk about the wide path that leads to destruction.
Never heard of that.
Let me tell you about it.
Oh.
Yeah. Jesus said that there's a wide path that leads to destruction. Where that makes me think of indifference is that it is super easy to have. It's super easy to have a bad marriage, right? Just do nothing. If you're indifferent towards it, eventually you'll have an awful marriage. If you put no intentionality, no thought, no care, you're just on a wide path. But be careful. It's easy to stay on a wide path, right?
Yeah.
It's not a tightrope. It's a wide path. You won't fall off it. It's super easy. The unfortunate part is that it leads to destruction, right? And so it is easy to have a fun family or cool kids. It's easy. It's just really, really easy to do nothing. But the problem with it is that it leads to destruction.
Yeah.
And so we want to be on that narrow path that leads to life.
And we're not just floating along with the current of the world. We want to fight it in many ways, right?
Like the world will disciple our kids if we don't. So
that's right. Like someone's doing it.
Someone cares enough to do it.
But all you have to do is do nothing for your child to be discipled by their peers, by their media that they consume. You just do nothing and it'll take care of itself.
Yeah, I had a friend who doesn't follow the Lord who confronted me about discipling our kids and said, you really need to give your kids an opportunity to learn for themselves, choose for themselves what they believe is true. And I said, the only problem with that is that I will be the only one in their life not telling them what's true if I decide to take that position.
Yeah. Right.
The world is constantly telling them what's true. A teacher's telling them what's true. A book is telling them what's true. TV's telling them what's true. Songs are telling them what's true. Taylor Swift is telling them what's true. Everybody is telling them what's true. So if I take the bench seat and say, I'll just let them decide for themselves, I will be the only one indifferent.
Yeah.
Everyone else cares about what my kids think. The problem is the current of the world is not dragging them towards the Father. It's dragging them away. And so I don't want to be indifferent. The narrative that comes to mind for me from scripture is Eli in the book of Samuel. You guys remember Eli
was worthless sons.
Yeah, he had worthless sons. And they weren't worthless because
they
didn't
know
better.
Such a bummer way to hit being the Bible.
He was punished over it. And Samuel was kind of given a dream that said hey, Eli, this is not going to go well for you. Remember, Samuel was hesitant to tell Eli about it because it was not going to be good. And these sons were so worthless and Eli had not parented them, had just been indifferent towards their mischief, even though they were leading the religious rituals and they were doing it in ways that served them and robbed from the people. He didn't intervene. He didn't try to stop it. And at least from the stories we have, Eli was this overweight, lazy-seeming, guy who just let his kids get away with things. Yeah, and he was indifferent towards their discipline.
Yeah, and God held him accountable for
exactly. And we don't know if he did that because he thought, you know, because he didn't want to, or if he wanted to impress his sons, or he wanted his sons to love him. We don't know. But we do know that in that indifference, the Lord was not indifferent. The Lord cares. And yeah. I think you see that, Cassie, you brought that up. You see that throughout the scripture. The Lord is not indifferent towards his people. He is not indifferent towards sin. He doesn't look at things and go, he doesn't wink at sin and go, oh, that wasn't a bad one. Mm-hmm. That's not a big one. You don't worry about that. No, what do we see Jesus say? He says, some of you guys think you aren't murderers. Let me tell you, if you've been angry at your brother, you broke that commandment. Some of y'all think you are not adulterers. Mm. Let me tell you, if you've had lustful thoughts in your heart about somebody, in your mind about somebody, you've broken this commandment. Yeah. He's not indifferent saying, hey, you guys are taking this too seriously.
He levels up.
Yeah, he's going, I'm serious. Pluck out your eye, cut off your hand.
Yeah.
Sin is so serious, guys, and it leads to a very real separation from God for eternity. He is not indifferent about his gospel or his people, and he's not indifferent about you, your role to disciple your family. Like, this is a command of God. And through Moses, he said, you can do this. This is not too hard for you.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about, just real quick, somebody land the plane for us. If somebody's asking you, I feel apathetic towards the things of God, where would you encourage them to say, like, this is where I want your heart to grow, and this is how you're going to pursue it?
I mean, depending on what it is, I would go to the Bible and see what does God have to say about the thing you're apathetic towards. So the fact that you even acknowledged it means he's at work.
Yeah.
Because he's given you self-awareness and shown you, hey, there's this thing here that I care about that I want you to care about and you don't. So praise God that you're, you know, even willing to acknowledge it. And then see, what does God have to say about this? You know, if it's your marriage, if it's parenting, if it's the church and being involved in a church, then I would go to scriptures and then ask God to light your fire. I mean, to change, to reprioritize your life, to show not only the world and your neighbors, but like your family and your kids. So like, this is what I care about. This is what God cares about.
Yeah. I'd say take one step, take one step of faith in obedience and whatever that means for you, which means maybe you think your family will look at you funny. If you say, everybody, tomorrow we're going to church. We're getting up, we're getting ready. I know normally we go to brunch and then we watch football. Tomorrow we're going to church. If that would be weird in your family, like, risk it. Take a leap of faith, one step, whatever that is. If there's somebody that you think you should have been sharing the gospel with, if you want to lead your family in prayer before a meal and you haven't before, let's go ahead. Let's do it.
Yep.
Just take a leap of faith, one step.
I challenged our church a couple weeks ago just saying it is not that hard. And you'd be surprised at how people respond if you invite someone to read the Bible with you. It might sound awkward to you. I got a text from one of the men in our congregation this week, and he said, I just started asking people at work, hey, would you want to read the Bible with me? And he said, I've just been amazed at the way God is using it. And I just love that. Just to say, like you said, Chelsea, taking that step of faith. And if that's in your own home, and if it starts with repentance, saying, hey, I'm sorry we weren't doing this already, but we should have been doing it, then let's start there. But where you find indifference in your own heart towards the things that God cares about, that should be something we repent of.
Yeah.
And that should be the first step, saying, God, I've not cared about what you care about, and I'm sorry for that. Forgive me. I want to change and go the other direction. And then committing your life to following Jesus and the things that he cares about. Let's care. Let's show compassion. Let's care about the vulnerable. Let's pursue Jesus with everything we got. Let's be faithful. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thanks for listening, friends. If you think it's as important as we do to disciple our families, please help us out by giving us a great review wherever you listen to podcasts. Visit one of our sponsors and share this episode with one of your friends. If you want to keep up with us or join the conversation, you can follow the Family Discipleship Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. We love you, listeners, and we will talk to you again next week.